Well, first off, I want to say that I was really looking forward to the challenge, and I was looking forward to the awkwardness of squeezing four musicians into a tiny house and then having two people, three people running around with cameras. I mean, it was hilarious. You know, I would dance by one and they would just switch places with me. I mean, there's a reason that none of the frames are really zoomed out. You don't really get a picture of like everything that's going on.
Welcome to the Tiny House Lifestyle Podcast, the show where you learn how to plan, build, and live the tiny lifestyle. I'm your host, Ethan Waldman, and this is episode 267 with Ashley Mazanik. Ashley initially reached out to me because she just completed and released a music video that features a tiny house. The video is called Shelter, and Ash is actually a self-professed tiny home nerd and has lived in three different tiny houses. In this conversation, we will talk about what it's like filming a music video in a tiny house, why Ash was drawn to the tiny house movement and what she hopes to achieve with this music video, and what it's like finding tiny homes to live in as long-term rentals, because Ash has lived in three tiny homes and they've all been rentals. It's a really interesting conversation, and I hope you stick around to meet the charming Ash Mazanik. But before we get started, did you know that I personally send Tiny House newsletter every week on Tuesdays? It's called Tiny Tuesdays, and it's a weekly email with tiny house news, interviews, photos, and resources. It's free to subscribe, and I even share sneak peeks of things that are coming up, ask for feedback about upcoming podcast guests, and more. It's really the best place to keep a pulse on what I'm doing in the tiny house space and also stay informed of what's going on in the tiny house movement. To sign up, go to thetinyhouse.net/newsletter, where you can sign up for the Tiny Tuesdays newsletter. And of course, you can unsubscribe at any time. I will never send you spam. And if you ever don't want to receive emails, it's easy to unsubscribe. So again, that's thetinyhouse.net/newsletter. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy next week's Tiny Tuesdays newsletter. All right, I am here with Ashley Mazanik. Ash is the brainchild behind the just-released tiny house love song and music video, Shelter. A self-professed tiny home nerd, the highly efficient environmental footprint is what drew her to live in her first tiny home in 2016. Now living in her third tiny home, Ash's new song about the Emerald Submarine is a celebratory anthem for the tiny house movement at large. Ash Mazanik, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ethan. It's so nice to meet you.
Yeah, so great to meet you and glad to have a fellow musician on the Tiny House Lifestyle podcast.
Absolutely. We should collab sometime.
Yeah, I would love to. I'm actually primarily a violin player. I've done like session work, fiddle stuff on people's recordings. So feel free to send something over.
Lovely. Sounds awesome.
But this interview is not about me. It's about you. Tell me about the story and the making of your music video, Shelter.
You got it. I have a degree in environmental policy from UCSD. I got my master's there a few years ago, and one of my good friends, Christine, had approached me about doing a climate-related documentary or video of some kind.
Okay.
And I said, well, what do you think about a tiny house-themed music video? I was like, you can interview me all day long. I can tell you about all the stats. But at the end of the day, I think it would be the most fun and effective if we were to make a creative project of it. Mm-hmm. And she said, let me talk to my partner, Jason. So she talked to the person that actually ultimately edited and created this music video. And they got on board. Mm-hmm. And I wrote the song in a day, and I recruited the musicians. I managed to have full sponsorship from the talent agency that I was working through at the time, San Diego Music and Art Company, and they recorded the entire song, and we made the whole thing happen relatively quickly. I think we released it exactly a year after recording the music video.
Wow.
Which was this week.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so so many places to go with that. I guess maybe we should back up, because I'm curious about your own kind of tiny house journey. It sounds like you were no stranger to tiny house living by the time this friend asked you to do this video.
No. In fact, in 2016, I was living in a tiny home with my then partner in Encinitas, California. And KPBS approached me about an interview. And I went ahead and said yes. At the time, I was living in a place they didn't want any. It disclosed where the tiny house was because I was living illegal. It was an unfriended situation, which has been the case for every single of the three tiny homes I've lived in. So San Diego County, you got a long way to go on your laws to make this easier for people. But ultimately I moved in, we moved our tiny house onto this little farm in Encinitas. And it was a beautiful experience. The only reason I left is my partner and I split. And after that, I was just absolutely intent on living in some type of community again, in an environmentally friendly way. So it took me a couple of years. But I eventually found another tiny house. I was going to build one up in the mountains, and I was sort of salvaging wood and windows and starting to collect things to build this on the cheap. And because I'm a teacher, so I got to do everything on the cheap. And when I went to go salvage some items from this really awesome community near me, I saw that they had a tiny home parked on their 9-acre property. And I walked by with my friend, and my eyes sort of lit up because on the side of the house, there was a giant Beatles stained glass window. And I was like, wait, this is like a musician has to live here, right? Like, obviously, to start with. And then the thing was like, it had like 10 colors on it. It was pink and purple, looked like an Easter egg. It was yellow. It was like, and I'm kind of that way. Like I put all kinds of colors together, and I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to live here, but I'm also here for a completely different reason. So I went home that night, and I was literally bothered by this feeling of conflict around this tiny home. And I thought about it, and I kind of closed my eyes and meditated on it. And I decided I'm going to go ahead and ask about living there, because I wanted to try living in an already established community. And we're talking about like a community of 20 people living together on 9 acres, co-owners, very unique living situation. With multiple tiny homes. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool to have that experience before building my own and potentially creating my own little tiny house community? Wouldn't it be cool to kind of live with some veterans first? So I rented there for about a year and a half. And I ended up leaving for a variety of reasons. One of them is that my work is too far away. And now I'm actually in my third tiny home. I'm not fully moved in, but I'm getting there every day. I get a little bit cozier here. I'm in a double shipping container tiny home, also renting as an accessory dwelling unit on somebody's land.
That's awesome. How are you enjoying the shipping container?
I love it. So this is the biggest I've ever had it in terms of tiny homes, because it's two shipping containers separated by a large deck that's about the same size as the shipping container.
Cool.
And so it's already, you know, if you include the deck, like four times as big as my last home, because there's another deck behind me, which has a nice little view, and there's a little shower out there, a little place to entertain. And so with the outdoor space, I feel like, and the super high ceilings, and there's just windows everywhere. I feel like I have a ton of space here. It's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I think renting tiny houses is such a great way to get a better sense of what you're looking for and what features and kind of even sizes that you like. I'm guessing the houses that you'd mentioned that this is the biggest, what was the smallest?
Well, the Emerald Submarine, the one that I rented in the community was the smallest. I want to say it was like 100 and a little bit. A square feet, maybe 120 square feet. And then the loft, you couldn't even sit up all the way unless you were directly in the A-frame, which you'll see in the music video. I'm sitting like right in the A-frame.
Yep.
And if you had a normal mattress up there, you couldn't even sit up. You know, you'd have to hunch the whole time.
Yep. Yep.
So I put a futon mattress, which I like to sleep on firm surfaces anyway. So it actually was a win across the board. But yeah, that was the smallest. The first one we were in, I want to say it was closer to maybe more like the 220 square feet.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was optimized and it was taller.
Okay. Yeah. So in this one, I see behind you, most people are just listening to this. you've got your keyboard behind you. Do you have other instruments, and do you do most of your music making in the tiny house?
Well, this instrument right here is built in, which is nice. I'm primarily a vocalist.
Yes.
Although I do, okay. I am an accompanist for a church on, they do their masses once a week. So I work for a private Catholic school in Del Mar. And I do teach recorder and ukulele, so I have plenty of space to keep all the instruments in the classroom and all the amplifiers. And, you know, we have everything. We even have, we have a clarinet floating around there, and we've got all kinds of percussion instruments and a cajon and a drum set. And, you know, I probably have 7 keyboards. So, you know, I just have the one keyboard here that I own. That's the one where if I feel like writing, I'm going to turn to the piano 99% of the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm just getting my vocal set up here, actually, because there's a number of DJs that want to do either remixes for Shelter or they want to collaborate on future works. Mm-hmm. And I've already featured on a ton of electronic music. That's how I got my start in music.
Oh, nice.
And so I'm looking to keep going with that, but to actually take a little more initiative this summer since I have some time.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what were some of the challenges of filming an entire music video in a tiny house, or in and around a tiny house, I should say?
Well, first off, I want to say that I was really looking forward to the challenge, and I was looking forward to the awkwardness of squeezing 4 musicians into a tiny house and then having 3 people running around with cameras. I mean, it was hilarious. You know, I would dance by one and they would just switch places with me. I mean, there's a reason that none of the frames are really zoomed out. You don't really get a picture of like everything that's going on.
It's a close-up shot.
For everybody's close-up, you know, yeah. We were in close quarters the whole time. And I thought it would be super funny to have the drummer kind of shoved into the bathroom. I actually wanted him halfway in the inside the shower, but he didn't set up that way. So I ended up in the shower at one point sort of dancing. But the giant upright bass barely fit in the tiny kitchen. I mean, he's grooving like it ain't no thing, but getting it in there, he was like biting his fingernails because, you know, it's a pretty precious, large instrument.
Yeah.
But the keyboard was already in there because I'm a pianist. Mm-hmm. And so that was actually optimized such that it was keyboard. And then I actually had a table that pulled out for mouse and this kind of keyboard. Right.
Yeah.
And then I had another table for the computer. And so the whole desk was all optimized. And my neighbor, Dave Buddha, another amazing musician, actually helped to build that custom so that I could fit everything in one spot.
Neat.
I have yet to do that here. I would like to, but these are the kind of things that don't happen overnight. You sort of move in and you're like, well, what's the essential thing? Oh, I need some shelves. I need some hooks. I need some this and that. This home is not fully optimized yet. I don't think anyone's ever lived here long term.
Okay.
So it's going to take a minute.
Has it been hard to find tiny house rentals that are willing to do long-term rentals? Because I feel like, you know, on Airbnb, tiny houses, you know, are such a great investment for people that there might not be as much incentive to want to rent to somebody long-term.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was looking for a while, and you know, being a music teacher in San Diego, California, you don't make a lot of money. It's a very sad reality. All teachers, I mean, the teachers I work with, it's just like it's amazing that we even are able to survive in San Diego County, given how much it costs to live here. Mm-hmm. And so I hunted. I lived 2 places last year. One was a bad landlord situation, and the other one, I lived in a trailer for a minute, but the train was so loud downtown. So I ended up moving in with my family, and I said, I'm not going anywhere until I find a place that I can live in for a while. Like, I'm not lifting a finger. It is so much work to move and to go through that process during, you know, while
it's
you're
so disruptive.
Yeah. And I gig on the weekend. So it's like, I never really take breaks. Yeah. Like, I'm like working, gigging, and then like do it again.
Yep.
And so to move was just crazy. I mean, I was exhausted. So yeah, this was a magic miracle that happened at like 5 in the morning. I remember I woke up, it was a Saturday morning, and I just woke up full of energy. And I was like, I need to find a place. I'm getting on Craigslist. I'm going to look everywhere. I'm going to look high and low. I was on apartment lists. I was on, you know, special little roommate websites. I had signed up for everything. Because I knew that I wanted to find something special. Ever since I've lived in the first tiny home I was in, I just don't like a normal condo or apartment complex does not excite me the same way.
Yep.
I wanted something unique that sort of fit my personality. And lo and behold, 5 o'clock in the morning, I see this post on Craigslist for a double shipping container artist studio. And I was like, huh? Like all the things I That's am me. Are looking at the headline. Yeah. I was like, I'm an artist. I'm looking for a tiny out home situation. And they talked about how it was under this giant tree and I'm under this huge pine tree and how they have chickens and how they have, you know, a big yard. And I was like, wow, these people are like right up my alley and it's right near some great walking trails. And so it was an instant yes. I mean, I came over and it was like, okay, where do I sign?
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Good for you. I'm happy for you that you found it. It just from what I'm seeing, it looks awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it was quite a find. It was hard. It was months in the making for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk more about the environmental footprint and those kind of stats. Cause you mentioned that you came armed with stats and yeah. Is that primarily what drew you to tiny house living, the environmental footprint piece of it?
Yeah. So the partner that bought our first tiny home, my first mm-hmm. tiny home, mm-hmm. we used to watch the most depressing environmental documentaries together. He knew I was into the environment and he was a little behind on his, you know, knowledge. And so we would just watch, you know, all the movies about the ocean falling apart and about the, you know, the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and all the plastic, the rainforest, whatever it was like, we watched it all. And at a certain point it got to him. and he also is someone who's very cognizant of his spending and hated the fact that we were paying rent every month. Just felt like it was such a waste of money. And he's like, babe, you know, if I buy a tiny home, would you live in it with me? I was like, are you kidding? Like, do you know who you're talking to? Of course I would live in a tiny home with you. That would be amazing. And he's like, okay, well, if I have one built, you have to help me find a place for it. Cause I had heard that that was the hardest part. And it is. Quite frankly, the hardest part. Anyone can build a tiny home, but then what?
Yeah.
You know, are you going to buy land? And if you do buy land, good for you, but you have to pretend like you're going to build a big house if you want to live in your small house on your land, because there are size requirements.
Mm.
And so one of the reasons this song and this project is so meaningful to me is because we actually have a really long way to go in terms of policy to make tiny houses a normal, regular, awesome thing and to reap the environmental rewards, one of which is that the average carbon emissions per year of a tiny home is about 2,000 pounds versus your average size home of 28,000 pounds.
Wow.
That's 14 times more carbon. That's just carbon. That has nothing to do with the water footprint, nothing to do with the resource footprint, right?
Yeah.
Nothing else. Just carbon
emissions. Just carbon.
Right? Exactly. And that's only one way of measuring sort of the health of our environment is how healthy our carbon emissions are, how healthy and stable our climate is. So the average ecological footprint for tiny homes, and what this means essentially how much of the earth is required to make a tiny home versus a normal tiny home, is about 3.9 global hectares versus the national average of 8.4 global hectares.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, it takes less than half the amount of land to produce the resources necessary to make a tiny home versus a big normal size home. So at the end of the day, no one's going to twist someone's arm and say, you have to live in a tiny home. But as somebody that studied policy and has thought a lot about the environment, why wouldn't we make it easy for people that want to live small and to have a minimal footprint to do it? It's great. It's wonderful. They're doing everybody a favor. They're treading lightly on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And 366 million acres worth of biological productive resources also could potentially be saved if only 10% of Americans downsized to a tiny home.
Wow.
And I would bet you at least 5% of Americans would want to downsize to a tiny home if they actually had that option. One, because it's cheaper. And we, like, at least in California, we have a major affordable housing crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So building smaller just makes sense for that reason alone. But then you add the environmental benefits to it, and it's like, I know that people want to do this. And there's a reason people are willing to do it illegally, like me, because I feel better about myself. I feel better living a lighter footprint. And I know that there's other people that want to do it too. So So yeah, the song is partly a celebration of how far we've come, because there are a lot more legal roads to living in a tiny house now. But you still can't live in one as your primary dwelling in California, which I think is really sad.
That is sad. And my understanding is that California has actually been fairly out in front in terms of allowing accessory dwelling units.
Yes. Yeah. Fresno, I know, is one of the first ones. Ojai is pretty good.
Yeah.
San Diego has an ADU policy with tiny homes. You can have a tiny home as an accessory dwelling unit. Now, I believe you have to remove it from its wheels and put it on the foundation and all of these things, which I'm not saying is a terrible thing.
Yep.
But it does add a lot of expense. And then there's all the permitting costs and all of that. So it's not like it happens easily, even though it's technically legal. And I want to say there's less than 100 tiny homes, period, in San Diego County that are permitted because of these reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So if we made it easier, we made it less expensive, I do feel like it would be a lot more popular. So I do think we still have a long way to go. And I know that the IRC, the International Building Code Council.
Yeah.
I might have the acronym wrong. But they also certify a lot of tiny homes. And so I think there's a lot of a push to allow anything that's accredited on that level to be an accessory dwelling unit and to not have to go through this additional permitting process that's so expensive.
Totally.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I live tiny for the ecological reasons. And that's one of the reasons I would love the opportunity to make more content around tiny homes.
Mm-hmm.
This was one song. Like I said, I wrote it in a day. I went $400 out of pocket. Literally everyone volunteered. But I just thought, wouldn't it be cool to make more content like this and maybe even make it branded for people's different tiny home businesses? You know, people have spent money on jingles for however many years. It's a common part of marketing is like, get a song, get some content. And so I just thought I'd put it out there as kind of this random idea that, you know, if the right person hears this podcast, to check out the Indiegogo campaign. Not only if you're in San Diego County, could I just host you to come over and hang out at my pad and we can drink craft mead together and talk tiny homes. But if you want to go a little further, I can write you a custom song. I can have custom production as little as $1,500 for a rap song or an electronic song. And we're talking like amazing artists. Like I think Kiyoshi's working with like one of the Wu-Tang Clan guys. Eric is phenomenal. I used to tour with him with a group called Inspired Flight. These are not low talent people. Like I've toured the US as a singer and I only work with really amazing people, quite frankly. So I would love the opportunity to take this the next step and to work with some tiny house brands and create some really fun content.
That's awesome. Yeah. So tell us more about the Indiegogo campaign.
Sure. So Lindsay Wood, the tiny home lady, and I have partnered in this endeavor. It was not really my idea. I don't think I ever would have launched a crowdfunding campaign on my own. It's just kind of like, I don't know, irks me. I'm like, ew, a what? No, I don't want to do that. But she was like, you know, I think it makes a lot of sense for what you're after. And it would be cool to do more homes.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, to do more tiny house songs in addition to potentially touring the song.
Yeah.
And so one of the thoughts is there's two tiny house festivals coming up in Colorado. And I thought I was going to have to cancel one of the weekends. I might still, because there haven't been anybody that have purchased concerts yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm willing to go and hire a small band for any given tiny house to have a band. So people can tour, they can get get a little bit of live entertainment. And you can also Trav Travels, a guy named Travis, who's this amazing van lifer, is going to be there. And he's offered to record everything and capture a ton of footage for people's social media, you know, for all of their purposes.
Super fun.
And, you know, we thought we could make kind of a party of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds super fun. I hope somebody buys that one. And there will be, of course, links to the music video and also to the Indiegogo campaign on the show notes page for this episode, which I will say kind of at the end. But amazing. I hope people go and check it out because it's really fun.
Totally. And to throw it out there too, it doesn't have to be for a business. If you live in a tiny home and your partner's birthday is coming up and you want to go big because it's like your 10th anniversary or like a, you know, they're turning the big 50 or something, you know, we could do a custom tiny house music video about your tiny home, you know, or a custom tiny house song about your tiny house. Anyways, I'm just throwing it out there because it's a unique opportunity that I'm offering for a couple months.
Nice. Do you, did you find that, living tiny helped or hurt or changed your, creativity in any way?
Huh. Well, I will say that living tiny has made me feel like I'm living in line with my values more than when I live anywhere else. And when that happens, there's a sense of peace, a sense of ease that happens. And there's also this re-emergence of, for me, a desire and need to do something about our current ecological existence. We are in the middle of the sixth mass extinction. We're losing species faster than we lost species when the dinosaurs went extinct. I mean, at the same rate. And that's super alarming. I mean, I learned about the rainforest in the second grade and I had stars in my eyes because I was like, that sounds like a magical, special place. And it's the lungs of the planet. And we're hacking it to pieces for agriculture. You know, for, it's like, really, we haven't figured out a sustainable way to farm yet. I'm sorry, but there's incredible books out there like Regeneration by Paul Hawken that have all of the answers. And not just to the climate crisis, but to all of the soil crisis, the dead zone, ocean dead zone crisis, the overfishing crisis. Like, there are answers to all of these. And I don't understand all the naysaying about, oh, we can't do that. Or, oh, it's anti-economy. No, it's not. What's anti-economy is robbing future generations of their opportunity to live in a beautiful world that's actually in balance ecologically, that actually is alive and beautiful. There are things in a teaspoon of soil that we still don't understand the magic of what is in there. There's so much going on in the smallest little bit of soil that we are still starting to understand. And I think to destroy places like the rainforest is arrogant. It's arrogant of our species, and we're only going to continue to see negative impacts from that over and over and over. And so it's not the environment versus the economy. They're one and the same. The cool thing about the economy is that we have control over it. We can change the economy to favor environmental decision-making and decision-making that also favors our health and our well-being, which we don't always do, right? We still subsidize sugar. Sugar, the thing that feeds cancer, this thing that feeds diabetes, Alzheimer's, heart disease, sugar, white sugar, I still have to pay for that. All of us are paying for that industry to exist. They're slashing and burning down in the tropics. I mean, this is an ugly industry that actually doesn't need to exist at all. I mean, that for one is just an obvious policy change that could happen that would overturn the way that so many of us live. So I have a lot of hope that we can turn things around. And one of the ways that I kind of keep marching forward is trying to live my values and trying to have some fun along the way.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned a book recommendation, Regeneration. I put it on my list now. I do like to ask guests for, you know, two or three resource recommendations. So like books, podcasts, YouTube channels, really anything that you know, has inspired you along the way that you'd like to share.
Yeah. So this is the Regeneration book by Paul Hawken. I actually base one of my classes. I teach junior high. I teach an elective called Creative Regeneration.
Okay.
And so I spent a lot of time teaching kids about these solutions. And before that, I was an art teacher and I did the same thing. We do art projects about each of these solutions because I really want to make it clear to kids. It's not about scaring people. It's about like, hey, there are so many awesome opportunities to be a part of a solution.
Yeah.
So that one by far is like my Bible in terms of what I, you know, when I feel down about our current state, it's like there are really great answers. The second go-to media is surprisingly Mark Hyman, the Doctor's Pharmacy with an F. I'm a total health nut. And it's not always clear to people how the environment and our health are really one and the same. But Mark Hyman makes it extremely clear. I mean, he talks about, you know, the magnesium in our soil and the reason why most of us are depleted in magnesium, for example. And that's because we don't treat our soil well. We, you know, we're not taking care of our planet. We're, you know, our magnesium's rushing out to the ocean, you know, essentially.
Yeah.
And we're not putting any magnesium back into our soil. We're not building up our soils. And so I listen to Mark Hyman literally every single day. For me, he's like the voice of reason in my life. I don't have a partner. I'm single. And so he's like a rock for me. Every single day, usually on my commute to work, I listen to at least one or two Mark Hyman podcast episodes.
Nice.
And he's probably, in my opinion, one of the best, most cutting edge thinkers of our time, up there with Tony Robbins. I just read Life Force. Actually, I have that one right here. Life Force by Tony Robbins, which is also about all of the incredible cutting edge health technology that we have at our fingertips. There's a misunderstanding in our world that as we get old, that we start to become less valuable.
Mm.
And if we treat aging like the disease that it actually is, according to data out of Harvard, we prolong our, what we call our health span. People can live a lot healthier lives at the end of their lives and be much more productive citizens and volunteer and be helping and be contributing in ways that is extremely valuable. And anyways, I think Tony Robbins puts that into really great, his delivery is fantastic and he has such a positive attitude. So
yeah,
I don't know. For me, it's really inspiring to read that stuff. Staying healthy and keeping your energy high so that you can do the things that you love and the things that bring you purpose, which of course for me has a lot to do with the environment and creativity.
Nice. And as I mentioned, all the links to your stuff will be in the show notes, but for people listening, you know, is there any like a website or somewhere where you want to, you know, tell people to go right now to follow you or check you out?
Oh, thank you. I mean, the number one thing, I would love it if everyone would check out the music video because it's just such a joy and it will literally just make you happy. Mm-hmm. You can't avoid just feeling happy when you watch this music video. It's pure joy.
Nice.
And please share it with other people, and especially in the tiny house movement that you know would love to appreciate like a silly, fun music video squeezed into this cute little Beatles themed tiny house.
Yeah.
That would be the number one thing. Number two would be check out the Indiegogo campaign. See if there's anything there for you. Don't be shy to message me because maybe there's something I'm not offering that I could be offering that you're looking. And, and I'm willing to negotiate on price as well. I live in San Diego. If you happen to be in the general area, I might be able to do things that I can't offer somebody, say, that's in Colorado. So yeah, for example, there's one person in particular that comes to mind. Lindsay calls him the grandfather of tiny homes. He has a rap that he would really love to turn into a song. So if you're someone who's like, okay, I kind of want to support this, but I don't have a product or I'm not really sure what I do. Jay is looking for a sponsor to create a rap song. And there's just a lot of creative ways to be involved with sort of the creative content production around tiny homes. And I invite your collaboration. Feel free to find me on Instagram. That's an easy way to just message me out of the blue. My handle is Ash Mazanek, AshMazanec.
Awesome. And my last question, which I've never asked a guest before, but I'm a huge Beatles fan. I was obsessed with the Yellow Submarine when I was a kid. And this might be a terribly hard question to ask, but what's your favorite Beatles song?
Oh my gosh, that is a hard question. Because there's one that
I don't have an answer.
There's one I always do live because I gig all the time in San Diego.
Yeah.
And it's Come Together just because it's
nice.
Everybody responds to that song. Like feet start tapping, people start singing along. They can't help but move their bodies. And so there's something about that song that I really love. I love the song I Want You as well, the She's So Heavy. Mm-hmm. I Want You. Yep. I want you so bad. That one's really fun too. There's a lot of nuances in that one. But yeah, the list goes on and on and on. What's your favorite?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I knew you were going to ask me in return. I would say that my favorite song on the Yellow Submarine is Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. I love Something off of Abbey Road. I'm Looking Through You is a really fun one. Those are ones that I sing too when I play. So it's like, ones that I can play, I'm like, oh, I really like these, but they're, it's like choosing between our hundreds of children.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Totally.
Awesome. Well, Ash Mazanek, thank you so much for being a guest on the show today. This was really fun.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me, Ethan. I look forward to being in touch.
Thank you so much to Ashley Mazanik for being a guest on the show today. You can find the show notes for this episode over at thetinyhouse.net/267. Again, that's thetinyhouse.net/267. There you will also find an embedded version of the Shelter music video, links to Ash's Indiegogo campaign, and so much more. So again, head over to thetinyhouse.net/267. While you're there, sign up for the Tiny Tuesdays newsletter. This is a newsletter that I send, well, every week on Tuesdays with all the latest that's happening on the podcast, in my tiny house world, and also sharing news from the tiny house movement. That is the Tiny Tuesdays newsletter. You can find that over at thetinyhouse.net/267. Well, that's all for this week. I'm your host, Ethan Waldman, and I'll be back next week with another episode of the Tiny House Lifestyle Podcast.